Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I think we'll get it through. The Republicans are very united, like seldom before. I mean, you see that today. The Republicans came together all of a sudden 2 days ago. It was like magic. They're very, very united. You saw that today, and you'll see it again.
All right, 6:53 now as we continue. Congressman Peter Roskam standing by. And Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Steve, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you coming on. All right, so there's a lot of people that are very nervous about what you guys in the House did yesterday. What do you tell them today to make them less nervous?
So people should be nervous about where we were. And, yeah, I think this is one of these bills where the more you look at it, the better off you realize we are. So here's the thing. The status quo is not working. If you're in my congressional district, if you're in McHenry Lake or Kane County, and you're in the individual market, you only have one choice. There's only one insurance company. If you're in Iowa, yesterday it was announced 94, 95 counties have no coverage if you're into the individual market. So it's collapsing. So here's what we did. We said, look, let's protect people with pre-existing conditions explicitly in this bill. And let's go at the cost drivers that are making insurance so expensive. Let's go back to where there was a national consensus when President Obama was elected back in 2008, dealing with cost drivers and pre-existing conditions. Let's fix that problem, because where we are under the status quo of the ACA is not working. We've got to change, and we need the courage to change, and that's what this is all about.
The problems that come up include the provisions for mental health care. We live in an era where opioid addiction has never been worse. And when it starts killing celebrities like Prince, then people start to pay attention. I have no tolerance or patience for anybody that wants to have a discussion that mental health shouldn't be covered to the fullest extent of any insurance plan like every other health condition is, because it's just as serious, if not more so. This bill gives states the opportunity, if waivers are filed, to go and employ large employers to go with other state plans that could first and foremost cut out something that is a little more expensive, like mental health addiction. Do you want the Senate to make changes in things like that to make it more viable and more fair and, frankly, more humane?
I think that I take your point, and I agree with you that mental health parity is essential. So here's the thing. The only way that a state can get a waiver. So number one, the law presumes mental health parity, and it presumes pre-existing conditions. That's the explicit language of the law. The only way that a state is able to apply for a waiver, here's what they've got to do. They've got to demonstrate that they're reducing premiums for health coverage in the state. They've got to also increase enrollment in health insurance in the state. They've got to stabilize the market. They've got to stabilize premiums for individuals with pre-existing conditions, and they've got to increase choice plans in the state. So what's good for the state of Illinois, I think in our state we have a consensus on mental health as something that deserves parity with any other condition. But if another state wants to approach this in a different way, they've got to be able to do it. Because here's the thing, Steve, if you have no coverage, if you're in a county, let's say in Iowa, where in the individual market, they say, we're gone. We're not here.
Listen, Congressman. I get that, and I understand that, and you're absolutely right. And Republicans and Democrats, even the few who have addressed this, are right. Your card is meaningless that you carry around in your wallet if you don't have coverage. Having said that, legislation doesn't account for market conditions, and legislation doesn't account for a business's individual agendas and needs. And sometimes legislation has to control those businesses from not having those needs outweigh the good of the employees they're allegedly applying benefits to. I don't know that this does that.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. So that's why the ability to keep somebody out of a marketplace, the ability to say, we're not going to offer you coverage, that's gone. Lifetime caps, that's gone. So this is not the Wild West. This is with well thought out protections that are trying to do something. And the protections are there in place. But to your point, look, this has got to be a balanced view. We've got to get these healthcare costs under control. So think about a physician friend of mine in Wheaton who told me about a patient who was in his examining room, and he said, Peter, she was weeping in my examination room. She described a $7,500 deductible. that she and her family don't have. This is a young mom. So she really has, when it comes down to it, does she have an insurance card? Yeah, she's got an insurance card. But is there health care on the other side of that insurance card? In her case, really incredibly limited. So remember, the critics are the same people who said, oh, if you like your coverage, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. And everybody's going to save $2,500 a year. All turned out to be pumping sunshine. None of that turned out to be true. So let's learn those lessons. Let's take the things from the Affordable Care Act that we like, that is pre-existing conditions protection, that is having kids who are 26 on their parents' coverage, and that is no lifetime caps. But let's get at these cost drivers. Let's unlock this thing, give people an advanceable, refundable tax credit that says you get to pick the coverage that you want. You don't have to go on to Medicaid if you don't want to.
So, Congressman, just to be clear, though, pre-existing conditions are covered, and if you're under the current plan, you can keep your doctor or go out of network. It becomes a choice.
So, bottom line, pre-existing conditions are covered. Let me just read you two sentences out of the exact language of the bill. No limiting access to coverage for individuals with pre-existing conditions. Nothing in this act shall be construed as permitting health insurance insurers to limit access to health coverage for individuals with pre-existing conditions.
But the waivers, the state waivers could come into play in those cases, and then the high-risk pools come back.
Right. So you've got to make sure that if you're a state and you're proposing, look, we can do this better. Let's say Florida says, look, we've got a different demographic. And the citizens of Florida, through their legislature and governor, say, we propose to do this a different way. They shouldn't be limited to the same sort of one-size-fits-all approach. They should be able to go and apply for a waiver. And I mentioned earlier the conditions of those waivers. So I think that we've got to recognize one size doesn't fit all. And if there's more interesting ways to do this, let's find them out. But here's what we agree on. We agree that cost drivers are irrational. And they are, you know, healthcare, notwithstanding the passage of the Affordable Care Act, healthcare has continued to go up really significantly. So we've got to get at those things. Look, putting more people on Medicaid, what does that do for us? You know, that's an unsustainable path. Instead, it's far better, in my view, to take a bunch of those same people and say, here's a refundable tax credit that you get on a monthly basis. You can use that, and you can choose the coverage that's good for you based on these parameters. So, yeah, is the Senate going to look at this and make changes? I'm sure they will. That's the nature of the process. We don't want a situation where, remember when Nancy Pelosi passed the Affordable Care Act, she said we've got to read it, or we've got to pass it so that you know what's in it. That's not happening now. So,
Pelosi's statement was ridiculous at the time. It remains ridiculous. But to be fair, I saw more than one Republican stand up yesterday and said they hadn't read the bill either. So, I mean, you guys didn't exactly take a lot of time over this.
Well, no, I think this has been debated for months, and so these last.
But did you read the bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but a lot of your colleagues didn't, and a lot of your colleagues had admitted they didn't. So that's a point that I think you've already had a push on. Look, a lot of people spent yesterday talking about whether you and others will have your job in 2 years. I think it's a ridiculous discussion to have, because the discussion ought to be what we had here about the welfare of the people involved. The politics will play out the way they do. But I'm going to give Andre the last question, because the people here in this state, your district, are going to want to talk to you.
Congressman, you're no stranger to these protests. In fact, there was another one at a fundraiser you attended at Arrowhead in Wheaton last night. Will you continue to host them, or will you avoid those?
So the protests are not new. I've had protests. There were protests against me in 2006 when I ran for office at that exact same location in Arrowhead. And they were
too bad. It's a nice golf course.
Yeah, it's a nice place. I'll continue to have meetings with my constituents. If you're asking about these loud town hall meetings, I did one once where people come in and they come in angry and they leave angrier. And there's, you know, and you've seen these things unravel across the country into shouting matches. I do telephone town halls. I do dozens of other smaller meetings with people that disagree with me. 20 people around the table did one last week in Barrington, people, 99% of whom were opposed to me, but it was a good discussion and a good dialogue. I'm interested in talking to people, not past people.
If people want to be involved in one of those smaller groups, what do they do? Contact you through the office?
Yep, that's it exactly.
All right, so hit the website. What's your website?
Roskam.gop.gov.
All right, I appreciate your time, and good luck with this. The Senate will take it on soon.